Reading from the, somehow I don't know what my spot was. So I'm going to begin. We're going to begin the second impediment, which is prayas, over-endeavoring. Om jnana timarandasya gananjana shalakaya taksun militam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manovistam tapitam yena bhutale sayam rupa kadamayam dadati sa padantikam panchakalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhu vayeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda sri advaita gadadhar srivasade gaur bhaktavinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are studying the Bhakti Loba, and as I mentioned before, it's a commentary on Rupa Goswami's the second and third verse of the Upadeshamrita, and it's in we're on the second verse, which are the six faults that destroy bhakti. Atyahara prayasascha, over collecting prayasas, over endeavoring, vijalpa, niyamagraha, idle talk, too much or too little affection for the rules, janasangas, worldly association, chaloyam cha, being greedy for mundane achievements, shadvir, bhakti vinashiti. These destroy bhakti. And for anyone who wants to engage in devotional service, it is especially necessary to follow these instructions, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Because if you don't follow these instructions, then bhakti will be very, very rare. So piyas, if piyas is not given up, devotion will never arise. The word piyas means endeavor, useless endeavor. Spiritual life is nothing other than pure devotion unto the Supreme Lord. Devotion cannot be defined by any symptom other than full surrender and subordination unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So beyond this, everything is useless. Of course, I make this point many, many times that there's nothing wrong with enjoyment, as long as you don't see it as the goal, as long as you see it as the means to make you peaceful to achieve the higher endeavor. So you can take, kamasyanet labho jiveti yavata, you take what you need. But beyond devotional service and the things you need to be peaceful for devotional service, which is God's will and therefore is your surrender and subordination unto God, Krishnanu Shilanam, your activities follow God, and God's wish comes in the Shastra, and the Shastra prescribes activities according to your adhikari or what you need to move to the next step in spiritual life. And when you come to the path of bhakti, it's defined by this subordination to God's will. As Pradyumna Prabhu, my God brother, said that bhakti means to make oneself available for service. So that move and trying to connect to God's will, trying to be in harmony with what you are part of, the symphony of God, and you have your beautiful music to play in coordination with something more than just your desire to make music, but your desire to contribute to make music. So to contribute to the will of God and God's love. That's bhakti. Full surrender and subordination are the natural, eternal, constitutional duties of the living entity. What are we made of? What are we made for? We're made of God. We're made for God. As much as the hand is part of the body, and therefore we're meant to serve. Everything has a nature. It's not defined by oneself. Our nature is defined by what determines our nature, which is God. So we are, by constitution, part of something greater and meant for service. As much as a fish is aquatic and made for water. So when we are serving God, as the hand takes dictation from the body, the hand is the anga, it's one of the limbs, and the body is the angi, the possessor of the limbs. So the parts are meant to serve the whole. And their nourishment and meaning is found in that. Our dharma, our duty, is determined by what we are, not by what we want to be. Because we're not God. And we don't know what's best for us. There is a logos. There is a logic or an order to the universe. Therefore, only devotional service is the natural propensity or inherent occupation. If one's inherent occupation, there is no need of prayas. In your dharma, your nitya dharma, your eternal, is to serve Krishna. That's natural. There's no need for prayas, for over-endeavor. Still, in any living entity's conditioned state, there is a need for a small amount of prayas in order to cultivate devotional service. So again, we have our needs. We have our needs. And we need that in order to cultivate devotional service. The previous chapter meant that without enjoyment, you'll die. But enjoyment is not your goal. Enjoyment's the means. And when enjoyment is the means, you take what you need to achieve the objective. Is a goal, you take what you need for that goal. But if enjoyment is the objective itself, you take as much as you can get. So there is some kind of endeavor, some type of enjoyment, some type of need we have. And except this little prayas, all other kinds of prayas are unfavorable devotional service. Besides what we need, everything else is unfavorable. Prayas is of two kinds, jnana prayas and karma prayas. In jnana prayas, the feeling of oneness or kevala advaita arises. This is also known as sayuja, merging, or brahma nirvana, absorption in the supreme. Jnana prayas is hostile to spiritual life. This is explained in the Vedic literatures. So jnana prayas, analysis for the purpose of stopping the mind and identity to merge into the absolute truth. This is the purpose of jnana prayas. That type of prayas is completely hostile to spiritual life. This is explained in the Vedic literature, Mundaka Upanishad 3.2.3, in the following words. Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Namedasa Nabuhuna Shutena Yame Vaisha Vinuti Tena Labhyas Tasyaisha Atma Vivnute Tunum Swam. The Supreme Lord is not obtained by expert explanation, by vast intelligence, or even much by hearing. He's obtained only by one whom he himself chooses. To such a person, he manifests his own form. So, understanding God is the prerogative of God. The personality of someone, the main nature of someone, is something that can only get by mercy of the revelation. If someone reveals himself to you, you can know him, and in no other way, what to speak of God. So how do you know God? You love God, he'll give himself. There's no other way to understand any person. What to speak of the Supreme Person? If you love someone, they will give themselves to you. If you exploit some person, even if you have power, you'll never know them. Never. Sometimes you hear these horrible stories where some girl is captured and kept someplace for a very long time. There's one story in Cleveland or someplace for 10 years that the girls were locked. In this basement, but the person exploited them, therefore they never loved that person, and therefore, even though the person had so-called power over them, he never could get their heart. He never really knew them, and we can never really know God unless God chooses to reveal himself, and he does that in love. Therefore, devotion is the only way to attain the lotus feet of the Lord. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.3, Brahma says to Lord Krishna, Jnane Pyasam Udapasya Namanti Eva Jivanti Sanmukkaritam Bhavadhyavartam. Lord Brahma said, O my Lord Krishna, a devotee who abandons Jnana Pyas, the path of empiric philosophical speculation, aimed at merging in the existence of the Supreme, and engages himself in hearing your glories and activities from a bona fide saint or sadhu, and who lives an honest life in the occupational engagement of social life, can conquer your symphony, your sympathy and mercy, even though you are jita or unconquerable. So a devotee who abandons jnana prayasam, the prayas of jnana, of trying to understand God by analysis and trying to merge in God by empiric philosophical existence. When he gives that up and he performs devotional service by chanting and hearing and sitting at the feet of a bona fide sadhu saint, you can get sympathy and mercy, and therefore the revelation of God. In order to further clarify Pyas, Lord Brahma says, Shreya Shritim Bhaktim Udasyate Vibho Klishyantiye Kevala Bodha Labdhaye Te Sham Masau Kleshala Eva Shishyate Nanyad Yata Shtula Tushavaghatinam. My dear Lord, devotional service unto you is the only auspicious path. One gives it up simply for speculative knowledge or the understanding that these living entities are spirit souls and the material world is false. He undergoes a great deal of trouble. So if you give up that for speculative and impersonal aspirations, then all you do is undergo great trouble. He only gains great troublesome and inauspicious activities. His prayas, his endeavors, are like beating a husk that is already devoid of rice. One's labor becomes fruitless. So it's not just fruitless for devotional service. These type of labors or activities are fruitless in general. Like beating a husk that's already devoid of rice. There's so much work, but there's no result. The philosophy of monism does not originate in the absolute truth. It is only a demoniac provision. Glorification of the knowledge of one's relationship with the Lord is often heard. That knowledge is pure and spontaneous. There is no need of prayas. So to get knowledge of God, there's not useless endeavor. It's our natural endeavor. So it's not prayas. It's not over-endeavoring. It's your activity, but it's not over-endeavoring. Dhyana is over-endeavoring. There's work for little. The knowledge given in the Chatur Shloki, the four main Bhagavatam verses, is a Chintya Veda Veda, inconceivably, simultaneously, one and different. This knowledge is naturally dormant in the heart of the living entity. The Lord is like the spiritual sun, and the living entities are like molecular particles of the sun rays. The living entity cannot remain in its constitutional form without being subordinate to the Lord. Therefore, servitorship of the Lord is his constitutional duty. Cultivation of this constitutional duty is the nature of the living entity. So, it's dormant. Shayat karayva chanjikaranam vita. Shayat karayva chandrika vitaranam. Bhakti is auspicious. When you chant Hare Krishna in sincerity, it's like the moon shining on a white lotus, which automatically opens. So by surrendering to Krishna, then the heart automatically opens with auspiciousness, with love, because it's dormant in the heart. It's just like a child learning to walk. By that endeavor, the walking capacity naturally arises. It's not over-endeavor. It's not useless endeavor. It's the appropriate endeavor. Cultivation of this constitutional duty is the nature of the living entity. This is the spontaneous, devoid of prayas, dharma or duty of the living entity. There is no useless endeavor. It all has direct meaning. Serving God. It's natural. It's just like a child to love their mother or mother to love their child. It is natural. It's not an extraneous endeavor. So in the same way, serving God is very natural. I gave the example of the calf that's born to the cow. There's no endeavor. The love is so natural. The love is so natural between them. The affection. It's not like the cow is licking the calf. The calf is searching for the milk. It is not prayas. It's not an endeavor. It's a natural, spontaneous manifestation of their very natures. This is the spontaneous, devoid of prayas, dharma or duty of the living entity. Although in the conditioned state, this dharma is almost dormant, is awakened by sadhana or spiritual practice, still, the prayas found in devotional service is not like that found in the path of karma and gyan, because it awakens very spontaneously and naturally, eventually, beyond our buddhi, beyond our discrimination. This is good. It's something that we feel very natural. It's very natural to ourselves. And things that are natural to ourselves take no endeavor. So the most natural thing is to love in a relationship that you have. We're part of God, and we're part of God's service. And it's very natural. If one takes shelter of the holy name with some respect, then within a short time, the obstacles due to ignorance are removed and one's constitutional happiness is awakened. But if one gives a place to Jnana Prayas, then he has to suffer. And if Jnana Prayas is renounced in the association of devotees, then that is devotional endeavor. We don't have any desire other than to serve Krishna. And for serving Krishna, we may cultivate knowledge, but then that's bhakti. That's not jnana. If it's service to Krishna, you read the Bhakti Labhya and you study other things, then that's natural. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Vesha Mano Yema Nitya Yukta Upasate Shadaya Pariyopetas Teme Yukta Tamamata. The Supreme Personality of God had said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshiping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. But those who worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed, and immovable, the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engaged in the welfare of all at last achieve me. But for those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. So there's great prayas, there's great endeavor that doesn't have value for devotional service. In karma piyas, there is also no benefit. So again, let me just sum this up, that we have a natural propensity to serve Krishna as much as a child and a mother have a natural love. That activity that's natural is not prayas in relationship to God. It's natural to serve. But jnana and karma, they have some agenda or material objective. And there's great endeavor in those activities. Bhakti is susukam kartam avyam. It's joyfully performed. Just as one takes bath in the Ganga in the month of Magh when it's very, very cold, then one has the right to take the bhakti. And it's universal. The fourth chatur shloki in the Bhagavatam, which indicates abhideya tattva, the truth about the practice of devotional service, it says sarvatra sarvada. It's applicable anywhere and everywhere. Animals can take the devotional service. Blood within the womb. So it's just a very natural, spontaneous thing. The only difficulty is the impulses for karma and jnana that make it a struggle. But bhakti itself is very simple because Anyone can do it. Patram pushpam palam toyam yo me bhakta priyachati. One who offers me with love of fruit and water and flower, I accept it. So from the first canto in Bhagavatam, it says, dharmas vanushtita pumsam vishvaksena katasuya nopadiye yadi ritam shrama evahi kevalam. Quote, the occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor or prayas if they do not provoke attraction to the message of the personality of Godhead. So, dharma sunushita pumsam, that every man, even his dharma is sunushita. You perform all your duties perfectly. Vishvaksena katasya napariyayati. But in doing them, if you don't develop rati, if they're not connected with bhakti, bhakti means rati. It means attraction to Krishna. Then, here, shrama evahi kevalam. Shrama means useless labor. So, piyas means useless labor. Therefore, karma piyas is contrary to devotional principles in the same way as jnana piyas. The conclusion is that karma piyas and jnana piyas are very detrimental, but a devotee who desires to properly pass his life still accepts his duties according to vanashrama, as those duties are favorable to devotional service and counted as part of devotional service. All these activities are no longer called karma. So the activities that are required in the pursuit of devotion, those that are required in the pursuit of devotion, or not required, those activities are not required in the pursuit of devotion, then they're useless. They have a purpose. There is a goal in life. And the goal in life is to realize the self, the tato brahma jigyasa, to inquire and understand our real nature. So activities that are supportive of that, and these activities, the swanishta devotees, the devotees addicted to their own line of devotion, bring karma and its results within the realm of devotional service. So this is a very interesting thing, that swanishta devotees, who have some attachments, they engage them in devotional service and bring those attachments within the realm of devotional service. They keep those things, even their desires, that can be used for Krishna, and then it no longer becomes prayas, because it can be connected to attaining Krishna. The Paninishtha devotees, or devotees fully addicted to devotional service, perform pious activities that are not contrary to devotional principles, only to attract people. The devotees who are nirapeksha or neutral accept activities stable devotional service without caring for popular approval. So I have to stop here because, wow, what is happening at the Bhakti Center? It's just so enlivening. People just pouring in the building. It's unprecedented. Anybody like to ask a question or say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Priya.
Priya, thank you so much for coming on today. Wonderful. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, I'm going to go now.